What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're going to be giving you guys a bit of an update. We're going to go back to a couple of our most popular episodes and talk about what changes have we made to our lives, how have these changes affected us, and some of the best things that we did in order to make a positive impact on our lives. We're going to talk about managing different parenting styles, what changed in our lives with regards to how we parent, how we work within our relationship. We're going to talk a little bit about yelling. What have we done to stop that in our households? And we're going to talk about sleep. What changes have we made in our households in order to get better sleep for ourselves and our kids? Thanks so much for joining us today. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Before we get started, please take a moment to hit that subscribe button. It really helps us with the podcast algorithm and making sure that our episodes get out to everybody. Additionally, it helps us rise in the podcast charts, which makes more people able to see our podcast, and it's a huge help. Thanks so much. So let's get into the episode. Stick around and listen as a couple flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad.
Hey, Graham.
Warren, hello. We're going to do an update.
I'm looking forward to this. There's been so much that has changed over the past... It's been 4 months now that we've been recording.
It's amazing how time passes by.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff that we have talked about, I've put in a lot of effort to make changes with the assistance of some other people in our lives.
Yeah.
But to try and get on top of some of the areas that I would say were some of my biggest flaws. And I don't know if have you done as much with some of these things?
I haven't necessarily done as much. Building off of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm coming from a perspective, a lot of these ones I have read before.
Right.
And so because of that, I started to take action. So I can definitely speak to the changes sort of in a past tense. We're not in the present tense. But that's one thing that we haven't necessarily held ourselves accountable to is we've spoken about how we are going to do these changes and then give an update. And yeah. We haven't done so. Because we just keep focusing on producing new content.
Yeah.
So this is new content on old topics.
Yeah. It's new old content.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's exactly so, what we want to do.
So when we were talking about this, we wanted to pick out a couple of the areas that I think we've had the biggest changes, or at least I certainly picked out and said these were the areas that I worked on the most and have had the greatest impact. So let's dive into the first one. And the first one is managing different parenting styles. So, you know, when you and I had spoken about it before, you and Vanessa were largely on the same page with authoritative parenting, which,
yeah,
you know, turned out through everything was the best way to possibly proceed as a parent. Whereas Rach and I were on, you know, if we considered a spectrum between authoritarian and neglectful, you know, Rach was on the authoritative side of permissive, and I was probably on the authoritarian side of authoritative.
Right.
And so through some, you know, it's a challenge when you have such wide varying parenting styles. And through some help with a mediator, so not a divorce mediator, but somebody who helped us to come up with a family contract, mm-hmm, in terms of these were the things that were required minimum changes for our relationship to continue to work. We spent a lot of time talking about our different parenting styles and what we needed to do for the kids in order to come together and be able to parent properly.
And was that the words they used, required minimum changes? That,
yeah,
speaking
it was,
from them?
Yeah, it was a part of like a contract that we created. We decided what were the things at minimum that we needed from each other in order to successfully parent and be in a relationship successfully.
That's interesting. And it's interesting from that perspective as well for anyone else that is dealing with this. And by the way, the managing different parenting styles is by far the most popular topic that we've done on this podcast. So it's naturally the one that we want to speak about again, first and foremost, as an update.
Yeah, even some of our other podcasters, like some friends over at Keeping the Balance podcast did an episode where they spoke about our conversation about managing, yeah, parenting styles, which brought them to having a conversation with their wives about it.
Yeah.
So they leapfrogged us. You know, we did it offline having a conversation with our spouses about it, but they actually brought their wives onto the podcast to talk about it.
And so I mean, obviously you had a mediator involved, mm-hmm, on that. without a mediator, what type of tips would you say would be worthwhile for people to work on those changes?
Start communicating.
Yeah, that's like the big one.
That's definitely the big one.
I was leading you up to that. I figured that was the answer. Take action.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We weren't parenting in parallel. We were almost perpendicular, right? Mm-hmm. And we were moving further and further apart from each other because we weren't communicating about it.
Like the red and blue.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to stop and figure out, okay, how is this affecting our kids? I was definitely being too hard on the kids. The expectations that I was setting were way too high. And that was it was challenging for the kids to feel like they had accomplished anything.
Right.
Whereas Rachel being on the permissive side was not holding up her end of the bargain in terms of making sure that the girls followed through on things that they needed to do.
And could it be, looking back, would you say that, and I don't know whether this has come up in the conversation with your, we'll call it mediator, was it a reaction? Like every action has an equal and opposite mm-hmm. reaction type stuff. So if she is sitting more on the permissive side, I'm not sure whether she spoke about it, but did she feel like, okay, well, that was a pretty harsh reaction, especially coming from your permissive yeah. side. And so therefore I'm going to try and like balance the teeter-totter to cut back even more.
There was definitely some of that. There was definitely a little bit of, well, I need to balance where Warren's going too hard. The girls need to have somewhere where they can go to feel like they're always accepted, that sort of thing. And because we now talked about it, we've both come together in terms of being more authoritative, right? Yeah. Setting reasonable boundaries, but always having those boundaries open for conversation. And okay. it's funny because...
And what's... Explain that to me.
So if a child feels as though a expectation is too difficult or it's unreasonable, giving them the ability to come to us and have that conversation so that we can adjust the expectations or be able to help them improve the results or those sorts of things, rather than just saying, no, this is the way it is and that's it. So as an example, if you don't do these chores, you're not going to get any screen time.
Yeah.
Right? Well, okay, those chores are maybe more challenging than they should be. Can we discuss an alternative to being able to get screen time? Like, what else can we do in order to do this rather than these specific chores, which are out of the realm of them being able to do it at this time?
Okay.
Right? And so it's made it much more conversational, even with our kids.
Right.
Right? Particularly for me, where a lot of it was, no, you know, I've said that this is what you're going to do in order to get this, and you need to do it.
Right. Okay.
Right. Which is great, you know, setting reasonable expectations, those sorts of things. But I was too stuck on what I wanted them to accomplish. Right. What I want them to accomplish is having an understanding of you need to get certain things done before you can move on to a reward.
Right.
Right. But it didn't necessarily have to be, okay, you have to fold and put away all the laundry.
Yeah.
Right.
Would you say that, did you think that you sort of like, well, this line or this way or the highway or whatever it is, it was more like if I change the topic, it's more of a weakness. I'm showing weakness, et cetera. Is that?
Yeah. That was a big part of the psychology was that.
Cause I have that. That's where I feel like, well, no, I don't want to cave on this because it's like, well, I can just come
You're setting
up with
some precedents.
Exactly.
And
it seems like, especially younger kids, there's no games like that. There's no, mm-hmm. it's probably just, you can go this other way and it's opening the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So it very much for me was a, you know, I've set an expectation. I'm going to stick with it because I don't want there to be any precedent set that, you know, you can negotiate at this point. But in reality, life is a series of negotiations.
Yeah.
Right. By not doing that, you're removing that skill set from your kid's toolkit. They need to be able to negotiate in order to come up with a mutually agreed upon resolution to a conflict.
Yeah.
And so I think by changing the way I was thinking about it, I'm giving them skills they wouldn't necessarily have had otherwise.
So the big theme is communication. What has come from that overall?
We're way better parents to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just parenting your child. There's an aspect of parenting each other, you know, to make sure that you have reasonable expectations for what the other person is going to do as a parent.
Yeah.
And we've communicated more in the past 4 months than we did in 10 years in terms
of... About parenting?
About parenting, about all kinds of topics. Because once we started unpacking our issues with each other on parenting styles, we were able to get past a lot of other things that were problems in our relationship. It is amazing how much parenting was a block to everything else that were issues that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because it was the mask that everything stood behind.
Well, so, kids are such a big part of the life.
And, huge.
You know, it's hard not to... Well, it's interesting. So where would you say you are? I won't ask where you think Rachel is, because that's not fair. In terms of your overall...
Everything's fair on our podcast, Graham.
Growth-wise, like... Mm-hmm. Room for improvement, always. Measuring area. Of course, there's always room for improvement. From where you were to where you are now, would you say you're 50% of the way there? Do you still have more? Like, of course, we always have room to grow. But is it?
I'm
working on minor things now, or is?
If I'm going to be hypercritical of myself, which I always am, I would say looking back now, before we had this conversation, before I went through the stuff with Rachel. Before you and I started this podcast, I was a 4 as a parent. And I would say now I'm maybe a 7, right? I've still got a ways to go. And that last 3 is probably the equivalent of 100, right? Because because there are so many things to tweak, but yeah. I am definitely better at communicating. I'm better at staying calm. I'm better at negotiating with the kids than I ever was before.
Yeah, and my question was perhaps incorrect. It was more asking about the managing the different parenting styles in
sure.
terms of how you progressing in terms of accepting the differences, etc. But it all sort of
I'm definitely ties into I'm it. More I'm more center spectrum of authoritative now
okay.
than I was before. Where I would say I was probably looking back at it, I thought I was authoritative. I was probably more authoritarian before, with a bent towards authoritative.
Yeah.
And I think I've come quite a ways in addressing that.
The one thing that I've have done more of since our podcast is having more, I'm going to say, offline conversations
yeah.
about disagreements. So we would communicate, right? But a lot of, there were times where the communication would be in front of
yeah.
the kids in terms of disagreement and,
yeah.
and presenting that unified front is again, as a recap, I'm more on the authoritative side, authoritarian side than Vanessa is. She's sort mm-hmm. of on the authoritarian permissive and I'm more
authoritative permissive. Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. Thank yeah. you. See, couldn't they add another? It's weird. Anyways. Where I would probably step in if I felt like whatever they were saying was maybe a little light,
mm-hmm.
I would chime in almost over top of her and say, no. Like, no, you're not doing whatever it is.
Yeah.
And sort of reinforce that the consequence side of things.
Yeah.
And through our conversation, I go, we're having the conversation, but I'm one maybe a little bit more overbearing and sort of overriding her, which doesn't
yeah.
seem very good.
The white knight syndrome.
Yeah. And then anyway, so okay, I'm going to bite my tongue here
mm-hmm.
And just woosaw, and then we can talk about it later, because it's just one moment. It's not going to
yeah.
make or break. Having a night of candy, for instance, is not like the end of the world. It's
yeah.
not going to get them all cavities. It's just one night. It's not that. Whereas I'm sort of approaching it like, no, this one thing is the beginning of the end. Like, they're going
right.
to become.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I just try and woo-saw the moment a little bit.
Yeah, you
bit
become
more.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing.
That is so hard to do, though, is take yourself out of that mindset that a single event is now a chain reaction to all the other things.
Right.
And it's, you know what? That's a great segue into the next one that we worked a lot on is yelling.
Yes.
And that has come up so many times in our podcasts, right? In all of our episodes, everybody we talk to, yelling is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
I still have an issue with that, but I would say that I have way less of an issue with yelling than I did when we first started our podcast and when we first talked about it.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple things. One, I went and got that neuro psychotherapy training that has helped me to alter my brain waves so that I'm not constantly looking at things as fight or flight.
Right.
Right. Okay. It's definitely helped. The Swingle Clinic in Vancouver helped me a lot with regards to that. So, I mean, it could totally be placebo effect, but
who cares?
Yeah, I don't care. It's helped me. I had a conversation with Allie, our middle one, just the other day, because I'm still working on it. But I said to her, you know, I'm going to try and do a better job of not yelling, of staying calm. But in order for me to do that, we need to have open lines of communication. When I ask you to stop, I need you to listen, you know, the first, second, or third time and not wait for me to increase my volume. Because if you do that, you know, it's going to result in yelling. And, you know, it's probably not fair of me to expect that from her, but it's also, I think the conversation needs to start there. And so I saw a post the other day about yelling, and it said, do you ever wonder why your kids wait until you're yelling to respond?
Right.
And it said, it's because you've conditioned them to do so, right? That if you only expect a response when you yell, right, or demand a response when you yell, they are going to wait until you yell to provide that response.
Interesting.
Right? That you have to condition through conversation and through calm stopping the situation before you yell if you want to get a repeatable process of them reacting to you actually making a request without yelling.
It made me think of just the term of controlling your environment as well. I know the times that I'm having to increase your voice level. You think back, at least for me, the times I'm doing that, I'm not practicing the typical levels of communication that you should have, as mm-hmm. in eye contact.
Yeah.
Right? Typically, it's I'm some distance away and they are doing something else mm-hmm. and I'm trying to override whatever that is, and I'm getting more and more frustrated that they're not listening mm-hmm. to me. And I can't help but think, well, geez, in my own world, if I'm watching TV, guns can be going off behind me often.
Yeah.
And I am focused on this one thing and mm-hmm. I'm not paying attention. And so Vanessa has controlled her environment, learned to realize that, no, I need to step in front of the TV and break that line of sight in order for me to shake my head and snap back into the world that we live in for us to have a talk. And
that's the big thing, is we understand and have and know that we have to do that for adults, yet we don't do the same thing for our kids.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking that as well myself. That's one thing I haven't necessarily mm-hmm. worked on, but it's just what I'm thinking. Like, yeah, you can choose. Everything's a choice. You can choose to keep increasing your voice, or you can realize, maybe there's a better way to, like, where am I situated?
Yeah.
It's probably that you're far away from them.
Yeah.
Right. So actually walking in front of them, it gives you time to calm down potentially, because that little bit of a walk or whatever it is, or maybe a stomp if you're getting very frustrated, but and actually have that eye contact.
Yeah. I have actually found that the more calm and quiet my voice is, the better response I get from the kids in terms of not just how calm they are to react to it, but also that they're more likely to listen to me.
Right.
Because, you know, not only that, but they see that I'm talking to them, but they can't hear me. And so they have to stop doing what they're doing and pay attention in order to get the information from me.
Oh, so are you saying maybe whispering is the
Well, yeah. not necessarily whispering, yeah, but
just coming to talk to you a little bit about.
hey, Naveena, I really need you to pick up your clothes, right?
Something like that, and I get a better response from it than, damn it, Naveena, pick up your clothes, right? It, which just doesn't work at all. It just it puts her on the defensive.
Yeah.
It's now all of a sudden that oppositional defiance kicks in, and I'm the dick that's yelling at her, and so it just there's no point in doing it because it's not working.
Yeah.
It just ruins the day.
And so that all is obviously very positive.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we consistently have spoken about is that it's in those moment type stuff that how do you stop the snap reaction?
It still happens.
Yeah.
It still happens. I'd love to say that I have completely eliminated yelling from my, you know, repertoire of skills, but that would be a total and utter lie.
So those moments that you have managed to control yourself a little bit, it's maybe not the, would it be fair to say it's not those snap reaction
ones? No, there's still snap reaction ones where I've managed to do it, but it's usually. So what have
you done then?
Yeah. It's usually because I've set my day up for me to be able to be in control of myself, right? So I've followed some type of routine for the day. I've eaten properly. I've slept properly. I've, you know, the self-care things that everybody tells you you're supposed to do as a dad, but you go, no, I don't have time for that.
Right.
I don't have time to take care of myself. But if you actually do it, you can put yourself in a much better position to be a better person for everybody around you, you know, not just for yourself.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. For me, one thing I've really been working on is almost asking myself, everyone has their own way of doing it. But for me, the question that I've always now been asking is, do you have a time machine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question.
Right. So the glass smashed.
Yeah.
I just keep referencing that. I've done it time and time again. Right. Okay. I told her, for instance, to put the glass away from her hands. She was playing around. And then she didn't. And a smash on the floor. Like, man, I am annoyed because I've told this. But do I have a time machine?
Mm-hmm.
Can I fix that glass? No, you can't.
Yeah.
And what's done is done type stuff. So, all right, like, how can we move forward here? There's no point in that. And for me, that has actually worked quite well. Mm-hmm. Just trying to snap, do you have a time machine?
Yeah.
Do you have a time machine? And it's led to a lot of other situations where I've become even more introspective or whatever it is about situation. Like, well, yeah. I can't, God, boy. However, if I had a time machine, man, would I be changing a lot of things, but I don't yet. Working on it. Maybe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So in the continuation of one of the things I mentioned, like self-care, that sort of thing, we'll go to the third thing that we wanted to review,
yeah,
which is sleep. Right, we did an episode on the differences that the lost hour of sleep makes to a children's capacity to learn, and you know, their psychological state. And we talked about it when we were doing that episode. This was a big problem in my house because, you know, my 10-year-old at that point still did not sleep through the night.
Right.
Neither did my 6-year-old. And so we focused on this and took some of the things that. We talked about in that in terms of ways to get kids to sleep, those sorts of things. And it came out of managing our parenting styles differently because Rach was really permissive with regards to letting the kids sleep with her. You know, a lot of making sure that bedtime routine was good, which would be another episode we're going to do in the future. That kind of stuff. It's changed a lot in our house since we had that conversation.
Yeah, the all-encompassing thing, just when the domino effect, which is the whole reason why we stress to everyone, you know, as flawed, like it's, everything is interrelated. There's always a reason for something out. Everything is a web. Just taking one tidbit is not necessarily, it helps.
Yeah.
But to keep working on in every aspect, communication, certainly a big one.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not all rosy
yeah.
overall. Kids, some, there have been some benefits, I think, overall.
Yeah.
Have you noticed with your oldest, for example, sleeping through the night?
Huge difference. Noticed?
Yeah.
Or yeah. Really? Yeah. The school has reported back to us that her concentration is better. You know, that she So in since September, I mean, she's going to a school that specializes in dealing with dyslexia, that kind of stuff. But since we've made changes to her ability to sleep, that sort of thing, which is largely come by training her not to get up to get us, right? And making sure that she's got a good bedtime routine and going to bed at a reasonable time and a number of these things. She has gone from, so she's 10 years old, grade five. She's gone from a grade one reading level to a grade five reading level, right? So she's caught up in terms of where her reading skills are in a period of 4 months.
It's amazing the ability of children or people overall of just being able to climb out of the ditch or whatever problems or things like that. There is, you know, you think, you can think like, oh, reading at a whatever level, this is going to take a long, long ass time to be able to bring this back. But that's not the case in this scenario, and hopefully not the case in that. This is never a lost cause or lost hope for things.
So it's made a big difference, and it's
helped. I'm sure confidence level and everything else.
Yeah, it's much higher. It's much higher. And that goes with being able to perform at school. Right? A child's self-confidence is incredibly tied to their abilities versus their peers in school, because there's so much, you know, self-measurement and so much self-talk and self-critique and those sorts of things, that once you start feeling as though you're a part of the crowd or excelling from the crowd, you start to build that confidence and then can really excel. So it's made a huge difference for her. Now, with our youngest, who's six, we're still having some challenges there. Mm. One of the big things that we changed, though, was that she's not allowed to sleep with us, as an example. But she's also, anytime she comes up, if she wakes Rach or I up, it's me who takes her back down. Because she has an expectation that if Rach gets up with her, that Rach will sleep with her.
Right.
Right. Whereas when I do it, she knows that I'm not going to lie in bed with her. So I can take her back down to bed, put her into bed and leave, and she will fall back asleep. So she's still waking quite a bit, but it's not anywhere near as bad as it was. So we just made some changes to how we do bedtime and who's responsible for making sure that sleep is happening, that kind of stuff. And it's helped a lot.
And so have there been days or nights where she has slept through the night then?
Yes. Yeah, probably, it's not quite half yet, but it's somewhere between a third and half of the nights she is sleeping through the
night. And is it getting progressively more and more?
Yes.
Or has it reached a level where it's like, all right, every night now you're getting woken up and still going?
It's not quite, you know, it's not a parabolic type increase, but it's slow and steady. It's slow and steady and getting better.
Logarithmic?
Is that the one?
Isn't the parabola the up and down?
I thought parabolic was like this. Was like an infinitely increasing.
A parabola, isn't that a U?
Sure. Okay, so it's logarithmic.
We're both trying to think back of math days. Something like that.
Yeah.
Increasing.
Yeah.
At an exponentially. Rate.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's consistency and things like that. Man, it's so boring.
Yes.
Isn't it?
But boring works. Right?
Like, that's the world that we live in, is the Instagram, TikTok, like, here's 10 hacks, 10 parenting hacks to be able to get whatever it is. And you're like, oh, great. Like, I'm going to be a super, it's going to take me 5 minutes and they're going to be unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Isn't that exhausting to know that, boy, you have to just be diligent and maintain things and consistent. From her perspective, not that she's 100% of the way there, at least, have you noticed any differences? Because it sounds like at least she is sleeping more.
Yes.
I assume, or is it?
She's definitely sleeping more.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, she's still six, so it's a little more difficult to measure things with regards to the impact that it's having. But we can certainly tell she has a better day from an attitude perspective when she's had a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
Right. When she's had a disrupted sleep or when she has slept in bed with Rachel, it's definitely a rougher day.
it's you have to be a scientist overall as a parent about testing a few things and not just ditching it straight away. You have to like, I think it was you, it's like a 3-week time period and almost to reset a habit or something like that. That's what I've now realized with children as well. It's like if something gets consistent for a week or two, then it becomes even more and more difficult to change the behavior, etc. But if you're able to work through it more instantly and work that, it's just time and time, just reminding yourself and keep going. I know sleep wise for our youngest, she's been pretty good, but sleep training at the day, like it was, I just had to, okay, we're doing this. And it took three tough nights, to get through. And now she's overall sleeps quite well. But we've tested a few times, just general, like, oh, let's maybe not do a nap today.
Mm-hmm.
And those days without the nap, she ends up waking up earlier and like early. She normally sleeps until 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. Early is like 6 o'clock. And so we're not used to that.
Yeah.
And like getting woken up when you're not used to it, it's tough.
Yeah. Having your child as an alarm is not great.
And your middle child?
I mean, she's always slept through the night. Okay. So it's never been a problem for her. She has always been one that I can put into bed, I kiss her goodnight, and she will fall asleep within 30 seconds. It is remarkable.
So what is it? Why do you think that is?
Genetics. Nature. I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a huge part of it. She's just a sleeper. She loves to sleep. We've never had a problem with her sleeping. So I don't think there's anything different that we did with her versus the other two. She just somehow managed to master it.
You never know. The third, there's a chance, I think, like, the mindset of having the third could be like, okay, I think this might be our last one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cherish.
Oh, yes. This fair enough. Much there more, is some.
And there's a lot more cuddling potentially.
Yes.
Because out of all of the children, is she not the worst of them?
For sleeping?
Sleep? Yeah.
Well, I can't say worst yet because, I mean, Naveena managed to not sleep through the night till she was 10.
Right. That's
so.
Right. Then on the first one, it's the first. And so again, I'm going to cuddle a lot more. Whereas the second,
it's very possible.
I'm clearly going on the nurture side of things about how there's a potential.
I think with Lilia, you know, the 6-year-old, that there was definitely some of that. There's definitely some coddling and a lot more cuddling and wanting to preserve the baby stage and that sort of thing. So it's very possible. I don't think she's the worst because when she does get in beside you, she just sleeps. Whereas Naveena was, you know, she, even if you were lying beside her, she would wake up. She had night terrors and all kinds of things. So, I don't know. I
sleeping with my kids, it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes we'll have sleepovers where the oldest will sleep with me.
Yeah.
Rarely. It's most of the time with mom.
Yeah.
And I'll go sleep downstairs or someplace else or vice versa.
What about if you're in a hotel?
You know, it's what's bizarre is that we've only had one experience of traveling with McKenna
and staying in a hotel.
Yeah, and she had her
in
own
6 years.
The other times she'd been younger.
Yeah, okay.
And so she had her own little car. Well,
I guess
crib
it, I mean, it's been 14-15 months since we can travel anyway, so
exactly. Yeah, and so when she was smaller, then hotels would always just give cribs and whatever those little pop-up
a cot kind of thing,
hide a bed, whatever thing. So they've been it's been supplied. The last time is there was a full bed and she slept in that.
Yeah.
So it was given. She wouldn't sleep with us either.
Yeah.
I get slapped in the face. Like,
isn't that great? The middle of the night kick to the groin.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had that, fortunately, but.
I have had that more times than I can count.
Well, if there's any other reason to work on sleeping,
yes,
it's getting kicked in the groin.
Yeah, in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. It's awful.
Everything's all warm. And
so I think, so those were the three areas of updates we wanted to chat about, the managing different parenting styles, yelling and sleep, I think. They're coming along well. I mean, yeah. Obviously we still have a ways to go, but it feels like we're making progress.
Yeah. So for anyone listening out there, you know,
for everyone listening,
take some, well, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
Work on some overall communication. That is the really big thing. And it's great to hear anytime you get some type of moderate success, great success, huge changes.
Yeah.
It's always wonderful to celebrate.
Yeah.
So anyone else that has moments that they want to celebrate at all, hey, feel free to share that with us. We're happy to, we'd love to talk about it on the podcast about some of the positive things that have come, small changes, etc. Or send us an email or DM us on Instagram. There's a whole bunch of things.
Please. hello@flaweddad.com for the email. Flawed Dad Podcast for Instagram. flaweddad.com for the website. We're going to be posting some blogs, that sort of stuff up there for you to check out. Please reach out. Get in touch with us. Love having people reach out and give us comments, other topics that they want to hear about. It'd be great to hear from you.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Have a great day.